are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. We're brought to you by, this is Those Casual Reds show. It's brought to you by Balorian Milukian. Balorian Milukian is Shagadian BMS is what they call it. Located in 4730 Woodman, beautiful city of Sherman Oaks, California. Specialized in personal injury, wrongful death, wrongful firement. Just, you know how the thing is. Don't kill the man, and they'll take care of you with a 98 success rate, 96 and 98. One of the finest law firms in Southern California, I have to admit. 747-444-4444. Balorian, Manukian, and Shakirian BMS. And tell them that Those Casual Reds sent you. All right, let's bring in the gentleman. What a beautiful show we're going to have tonight. Look at this cast of
distinguished gentlemen.
Distinguished gentlemen. I got Mike in Atlanta, Sean in Pittsburgh, Bandito here in Los Angeles, my man Cheese in the studio, German studio. This is Those Casual Red Show. It's a beautiful thing. How's we feeling?
We feeling great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Beautiful LA Manchester Fan Week, good vibes, right? True.
Good vibes.
Yeah, man. Starstruck, guilty.
Are you really?
Yeah, man. And I don't even know why. Like I see them almost every summer since New York, and it still is like I was like, oh shit. It gets me.
I ran up on a couple man them. I took a turn where I was to go to an area. And I ran up on a couple of man them. They was like, sir, you're not even supposed to be back here. And I see, Rashi, my dude. What, what? They looked at me like, oh, this dude is crazy. But anyway, Atlanta, how you feeling?
Wagwan, everything is blessed. Everything is good. Everything is chill, man. I'm ready for SC. Ready for the real Fan Fest to start. And, yeah, everything's good.
Wow, he said that's a shot fired. That's a shot fired. First of all, I got beef. I listened to your show. Bandito, let's get you out of the way. How you feeling today? I'm going to go at these two gentlemen in a second.
Yeah, let's first up.
I'm feeling good. It's been a busy week for United fans across L.A. If you want it. United Roadshow moves on to San Diego. So there's been open training twice a day. There's been fan events throughout LA with legends. And let me tell you about one that I went to. This was the Friday before the Saturday match at the SoFi Stadium in LA. It was called Warm Up with Legends. And this was hosted by Manchester United, O'Brien's Pub, which our home pub in LA, and Manchester United supporters of Los Angeles, who go by the acronym MULA. And it was hosted by Andy Mitten. If you don't know who Andy Mitten is, he's a journalist from Manchester. He's followed the United summer tour since 91. He writes for GQ. He writes for The Athletic. He has his own fanzine that he started back as a teenager called United We Stand. And you'll hear news from him. He's got loads of contacts in the club throughout the year. So really good. One of the journalists that I listen to, and you know, there's all this United news, and you can kind of rank the seriousness of it, and I rank him pretty high up there. So. Got to chat with him a little bit. Now Casey was in a issue of United We Stand, and I took that to Andy Mitten, and he autographed that for you. So I had a little chat with him. That was cool. But the legends that were there, three treble winners, Andy Cole, Dennis Irwin, and Wes Brown, two-time Champions League winner, Wes Brown. It was a ticketed event, so it was you know, the pub wasn't, you know, jam-packed. But it was a really cool event. I gave it, you know, even if you wanted to hate it, you couldn't hate it. It was fantastic. The Dennis Irwin was, you know, very funny. And, you know, these players, they do a lot of these. They're doing another one tonight in San Diego. So sometimes you think that you get these like canned answers that they're just repeating all the time. But, I think Mitten was pretty good at like getting details and fun stories out of him. At one point he's like, don't Dennis Irwin, right? He's like, don't record me. Don't put this on your socials. I'm gonna take stuff that I don't want out there. So it was just a good fun event. And so right now there's loads of people from Manchester in LA, you know, for the week, just on holiday, and then down in San Diego. So there was loads of Reds from all over the place, actually. But some of the more familiar people that were there from YouTube channel, like the United Religion, Stretford Paddock Boys were there. Alex and John Neal, does Famous Alex, where he does these match day blogs that are really, really entertaining. It gives you like a feel of being in the stands. So Alex and his dad were there. Good Vibes John from New York, who's on a lot of media channels. He was there as well. And yeah, it was a good time. You know, got to meet a lot of Reds from around Southern California and United States, and from over in Manchester as well. So really enjoyed it. Was there with a couple of our boys, the ACJ boys. So that was fun.
I missed that event, obviously, because it's a little bit more subdued. I was told I had to be
on your best behavior.
Can't call Andy Cole Andrew all night like the last time I was in his presence, and he wanted to fight me, I think. But I thought it was just, you know, we were having fun times. But yeah.
Seemed like a real nice guy. Like he wouldn't hurt a fly, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I missed that. Shout out to MULA and Brian for putting that together. And MULA does we do a good job of that, of bringing ex people back and getting us close to them and opportunities to meet them. And Andy Mitten is top class. Met him a couple times. Top class. I love United Stand. I love his thing. He always puts the child pictures in there, and it's a great time. So looks like I missed another one of those events, you know.
But you were at the pre-game event.
So let's talk. First of all, I want to, Sean, how are you doing? We didn't get to how you doing.
I'm doing good, man. Excited for tomorrow. I leave for tomorrow.
Okay.
Down on Friday, but I'm actually leaving tomorrow. And then I just booked my flight to England on Sunday too. So
that's the second person in this show that's already booked for England.
Yep.
Nice. Well, yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it that much. I got to leave at South Carolina at 8 a.m. Drive 8 hours back to Pittsburgh. Drop my bag off. Get my wife take me straight to the airport, and then get on an airplane to England after an 8-hour drive.
Damn.
On the South Carolina trip, I know you guys were talking about, and you were concerned about, if who was going to play. I wonder who's going to play tomorrow. Is it going to be the youngsters again? Because the last time in San Diego was all youngsters, because they had to play another game on the weekend, and they saved that. They spaced them out. So I really would. I mean, I want you guys to see. Go ahead, Benito.
I'm thinking it's going to be a first team for a half.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, they played Wrexham, which is League Two.
Yeah.
But they're playing Real Betis.
Yeah.
Who, Spanish First Division, and they're kind of in the shadow of Sevilla, and they want to be, you know, they want to improve and get bigger as a club. So I think we're going to see at least for 45 minutes first team.
That's good, because, you know, that's one thing I would like for every, like, you guys are going to be in South Carolina. You guys are going to make the trip, getting these tickets. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to, is this, He's sleeping though.
Mikey's he's like,
oh my god. Okay, so I know that was something you guys were talking about. Who's going to play? So I was hoping, you know, everybody gets that experience because it's really good. To, like you said, you're starstruck to see the guys up close and everything. But I want to clear something with the United Fan Zone show. Now, Sean, when he talks that LA garbage, you are guilty by association. So listen, I want you to know we're keeping record of all the times it's going down, and everybody in LA, we just want you to know we're paying attention to the LA hate. So you guys be careful when you do that, because you know you
I didn't
see
say
what
nothing bad.
Okay,
by association has already
Sean,
explained.
That's by association,
it's
not
my fault,
Sean.
The phone sucks. So.
Okay,
that's crazy.
That's fine. Wow,
you were guilty of last week's show.
All right, so let's get to it. We just want to clear that up. So a few of us went to the event here in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium. There was a pregame at something called Cosmo, which I've never heard.
Cosm.
Or that is here, yeah.
So it was nice because, for us, at the event, a lot of celebrities were walking around. I walked into NBA dudes, and they were like, who's this guy? And it was saw the Stratford Paddock guys. They're all there. United Stand people was there. So it was a big event. LA brought out everything, the noise. The game to me was.
Did you see the game?
I did see the game. Why would you say something?
Yeah, let's get to that.
Why would you say that?
It's Casey watched games.
Because there's a lot of you up and down the stairs and just like dipping and I'll be back.
I'm going to let y'all know, when they didn't call that offsides, I was pissed. I was irate because that was a goal, and I'm just saying, what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
So offside.
It was so offside, so I'm just like, once that happened, I don't want to say I lost interest, but I was like, oh, this is a wasting. This is a wasting. And then the Arsenal fans was like, oh, they were hype. I couldn't believe there was a couple in our section. I was like, what is this?
Like the stadium wasn't big enough. To separate.
Woosa.
Yeah. So how was that? Is it everything was just mixed in? In wherever, or what was the deal? Was there a dedicated?
I would say we were definitely in the United section, but there was like husbands of United supporters sitting with us. You know that type thing. So it was separated. It was separated. I'm gonna keep it 100. There was a lot of Arsenal heads up in there. But that's their
what was the ratio? What was the ratio you would give from United fans to Arsenal fans?
51-49.
Yeah.
Get tip to Arsenal.
Yeah. Bumped into a lot of yardies. But it was
technically
fun.
Technically an Arsenal home game, the owner, right?
Exactly.
It's fun to see how LA people react to it. The pregame. So I got to make sure I don't say everything.
Were any of you at the open trainings?
Yes.
That was cheese.
I was.
Cheese.
Tell us about that cheese.
You let me down, cheese. You let me down.
First of all, I let Sean down. I got zero signatures.
Come on, talk about it.
I got zero signatures. First of all, I let Sean down. All right, let's get that out the way. Rashi looked amazing. Ahmad looked amazing. I think McTominay scored the most goals in training. Casey's player, Hamas, or as we know him, Amas, was amazing in training. And there was a young striker who looked good as well. I don't know if it was Wheatley. But he looked good as well. And Wan-Bissaka looked good. I don't know if he's on his way out, but he looked good in training.
Wan-Bissaka.
But, like, real time is crazy. Like, how fast Marcus Rashford is.
Wicked, huh?
Holy just his feet are lightning quick. Ross. Lightning quick. And I'm just like, dude, please just get your stuff together this season. Please. Please. And give us a break with the injuries.
Is that how they say with Rude, he's running things?
And
all the
he's
media
a, he's
is
an assistant coach, right? It's not like he's specifically the striker's coach. I'm not sure. He seemed like he's an assistant. He was definitely directing a lot of the training that at open practice that we went to. Ten Hag was just chilling in his bucket hat, like tanning.
just like literally like observing for the most part. Like, yes, he was giving instructions, but he was in the background and like the assistants were running training. Darren Fletcher looks like he could still play for United. He was out there on the opposing team like making up numbers and shit, and like you're like, holy Darren Fletcher. Right. yeah
man, them nice.
Yeah, so yo, it was a proper thing for sure. Again, fail with the signatures because that's a whole process.
But it looked like a pain in the ass to get signatures, though.
Exactly that. And I know what, like, if there's over 100 fans there, and even if you took 1 minute per signature, you're still there for 100 minutes. And to try and get it from your favorite player. So I get it. It's a mad thing. The man that would pay extra money can go down on the field. Like, like there's people on field level getting pictures with the players. It's easy signatures. It's like, how much that costs? Just let me know. What I got to win? What contest I got to enter? Let me know how to level up. Yeah, but yeah, it was a beautiful thing. Like, if this is what life is like for people who get to see them practice at Carrington because they live in Manchester, like, bless them. They're so lucky. Oh, and another thing. The man them seem happy. I was like, I hope that all those smiles carry into the season.
Who are you talking about?
Like, just the team overall. Like, they, like, open practice was a, like, they looked like they were vibing.
Well, that's what I heard in Hoyland, the streets.
Hoyland is a joker. Like, he is, he looked like class clown out there in, like, beer vibes.
That's what I heard in the streets, though. Enough man was like, kissing them here. Yeah. Them here. And I heard, you know, they was really unified at the spots. You know, I'm not gonna say nothing, but it was. Look, they said no; these dudes look tight, and that's good to hear. Because I've always questioned this team.
For me, especially, like, all my information is coming from the media, so I'm always just like, is it true? Is it not? How to read into it? But like, to see them together, just like, yo, it's a vibe. They look like they like each other. Even Blood Clot Sancho.
One of the guys at the events, he's a LA Red and a former like Division I college footballer. And he signed up to drive golf carts.
Oh yeah.
Practice.
Boss move.
And he was driving the guys back and forth.
Boss move.
And he said it was just a really good time for them, and it was like really loose and joking, and it seemed really genuine. You know, they're not gonna put on an act for him. He's just driving a golf cart. So it kind of echoes what you're saying. Like this time for them is like team building and just enjoying your football and being happy and getting your building up your tank, as they say.
Word. Oh, last comment about open practice. Anthony has a lot of work to do. He turned the ball over so much.
It's a mad thing.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, yo, Ten Hag, you cannot allow that when the season starts. Like, if he's not going to change, like, just.
And you know, back to him, when he come in the match, it's everybody's like, it's buzzards. He's got to go.
Dude, he ran into McTominay during the match.
It's crazy, right?
So everything you've been telling me, Cheese, it seems like
that. I tried, and I was trying to back him last season. I was like, yo, he's going to turn his stuff around. I was like, yo, in open practice, I was like, dude, you literally, every time you get the ball, you turn it over.
So, the stadium thing. Now, we heard the brass was there to study SoFi because they want to do this big project. Mm. And SoFi, they're getting ideas. And it seems like the club wants to go big thing like this SoFi and that. What was your stadium experience sitting there like?
Well, way up in the nosebleeds, it was a beautiful view. It reminded me of Tower View when you play FIFA.
Yeah.
that was a tight view, though. Like, you could see everything, and like you see all the play, obviously, because you got the whole field. And
you got that screen.
Like, even from that far away, the offsides was clear as day, like you said. That stupid call, clear the offsides. Yeah, the Jumbotron screen thing right in front of you.
Did you feel... Okay, so, Bandito, can you... For the people who haven't been to Trafford, Mikey, Sean, the people who haven't been to Trafford, you guys tell us what's that feeling like when you're amongst Reds in the stadium? And I want to hear just quick descriptions from you three. And I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead, Bandino.
Yeah, Old Trafford is 73,000, but it's a very tight 73,000. Whereas SoFi...
82.
The footprint is much bigger, so there's much more space. The open concourse. At Old Trafford, you're going to you're going to badge in to wherever your ticket is, and you're going to be in the inner concourse just for that section.
Mm-hmm.
And I am not described as a tall person, and my knees were hitting the seat in front of me when I sat there, and there was, you know, there was, so it is really tight. It's a tight space. But it's got soul to it. It's got brick that you're going in through a gate that's been there since 1911. And it's, you know, even though it's been built up in stages throughout the years, you know, that took time. That took decades to have that feeling and that soul to it. So the idea that you can have a, you know, $5 billion stadium like SoFi, and then, you know, that's going to take time to build into that and to have that feeling wrapped around the stadium. I talked to a West Ham fan who lived in London and now living in Chicago. So he's been Boiling Grounds and now the new stadium. And he said, the thing that has brought that feel back to the stadium is the success they had in their campaign in Europe. Oh. So it seems like if you build a new stadium, you got to start winning. So I don't know what that means for Spurs, but at least at least West Ham has had a little bit. So that's my little two cents. Go ahead, Sean.
You want to go, Big Mikey? You've been quiet.
So yeah, it's kind of cramped. It's a hike too, going up. It's like I was in the Sir Alex Ferguson stand, low and high. In that, I saw a league match in the week, and it was late. It was later in the day, and it was like not that. It was a lot of people, but it wasn't packed. It was when we played Derby, and we lost on penalties. It's tight. It's tight in there, but that gives it a coziness. That and you feel like you're on top of the action, right? You feel like looking down, you could see it, and you can see what's going on. Pause on top of the action. It's crazy. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. And I feel like what they'll do with this SoFi idea and all this other stuff will kind of rob it of that intimacy that you get by being there. But also, it kind of encourages people to, like, people want to talk. They'll talk to you there, right? Like, I talked to a lot of people there just from the perimeter of where I was sitting, you know, not during the match, but just, you know, pregame and all that. I think it invites that kind of togetherness. And when you score, it's electric. It's like a rumble going through. Like, my first ever goal I saw at Old Trafford was Fred scoring against Wolves. It was a 1-1 draw, but it was crazy. It was like electric. So I think you lose some of that when you get into these bigger venues. I don't know. But I never sat in the Stratford End or anything like that. I'm sure Sean can speak to that type of stuff.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit on the show yesterday about just how the stadiums are built kind of in Europe compared to here that I've noticed. Compared to, like, you know, I go to the Steelers. I was at the Steelers game on Thursday. Friday, should I say, to watch the Liverpool game, and kind of the Steelers Stadium is built just vertically, whereas Europe it's more like this, but then another one over the top. So you feel more closer to the stadium compared to some of the American stadiums that you go into.
Heinz Field.
So you're from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I know. It's Acrisure Stadium now, apparently.
Go ahead, the
Stretford End is a whole different ball game. You know, it's like, you know, being, I don't know how to compare it to American because I haven't really experienced anything in America like that. Like
college football.
College football.
I've been to a Pitt game, you know, singing the song. So that's kind of the closest I've
Georgia.
Well, I've never, what I'm saying.
USC,
is
Coliseum.
Pitt's crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never, you know, Pitt is the only kind of college football game I've been to. So. There's nothing really I can compare it to over here. Like, the only thing I've noticed is just the way the stadiums are, you know, the vertical of the stand. But the Stretford End is something that everyone needs to experience. It's insane, especially when the players are coming in. There's a corner in the end, It's just an insane part of the stand to be in. So
I would definitely compare it to, well, my couple times I've gone is to being between the hedges in Athens, because it's that's tight.
Yeah, that's tight.
And it's close. You're really close to it. You could see.
Really close. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could see what's going on, and it's like nonstop. Nobody's moving. It's like, you know, we have breaks. You know, football's a longer game. It's 4 hours, 5 hours played. But it, when it gets going, I definitely will. It's not the same, but it's the closest I've felt to Old Trafford. But I've felt nothing since.
Yeah. And I think what Sean's talking about is, I think in like modern stadiums, the sight lines are better. So yeah, like in Old Trafford, when you're up the apples, as they say, you have this site like this, and you can't see the other stand. You just see just the edge of the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, you can see the edge of the pitch, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously it rains and there's cover, but that's kind of how the terraces, the old terraces were built, where these new stadiums, it's very open and there's fantastic sight lines. Mm-hmm. You can walk up from the from behind the seating section, and you can see the field as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that, and there's also what they wanted to look at is Hollywood Park as a whole. So mm-hmm. Hollywood Park used to have a racetrack, mm-hmm. and it has a casino, and it has the Forum. So a concert hall. They have a new YouTube concert hall. There's that new Cosm event center. I believe that even the Clippers are trying to build it.
The Intuit, they got that Intuit facility already up.
So that's what they want to do. They almost wanted to integrate from Old Trafford all the way to like media center, media city with shops and hotels. Improve the rail. There's a rail station that Old Trafford that's just, it's boarded up. There's no stop there.
No.
So they want to make improvements for the people around the area of Old Trafford, because if you've been there, no, it's quite depressed. So
yeah, trying to find a hotel close to Old Trafford is impossible. You know, I had to get an Uber for 25 minute ride to Uber to Old Trafford. I think the only one there is the soccer stadium, soccer.
Yeah, there's the IBs up the street, but most people will stay in town and they'll walk. To the ground.
To have a hotel, that would be amazing.
So that's kind of what they're looking at. They're looking at also the Bernabeu and how they've done their stadium. So the Enos Brass were in LA to look at, yes, the stadium, but also to meet with city officials and talk about what they did at Hollywood Park.
One thing I would like to see at Old Trafford is, you know, the area where you get the beers and stuff in America. Can we not do that in England? Because you cannot drink a goddamn beer in England and sit down and watch the game. So I'd love to be able to grab a beer and stand there and watch the game for a little bit. If you try and go in the stands with a beer in your hand, they'll like, nope, go back. You're not allowed it.
And those are the areas I was at. And those are magnificent areas. It's mm-hmm. you know, if you're, obviously you can't fan mix in Europe, but you know, when you're with your people, it's a beautiful thing. You know, that's the best part of it. But you know, with those stadiums, all these stadiums, you win, the vibe is going to be right. You know, I was just concerned. I was worried about how you feel about spatially and all that. It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, everything is happening outside the stadium is amazing. Like the Cosmo, what's it called?
Cosm.
People pay for that. It sounds like, Casey, you would like to have one Premier League game here.
No way in hell.
No.
He's trying to set me up for some Babylon.
Yeah.
So, fast forward, if you're listening and you haven't been to Old Trafford, you have about 6 years to do it before it may be repurposed for something else.
Yeah, I can't even say where I've been, but
I'd be shocked if they're building.
You've been to the city ground, you said. You've been to the Etihad, you said.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to the Etihad, yeah.
You went to that instead, you said.
Oh, damn. Talking about you, Casey. Cool.
I was ignorant. And the person that took care of me was ignorant.
I ain't never been that ignorant.
You don't know my life. How about that?
I've been past the Etihad, but I ain't never going in that shit.
I was at the 6-3 away match, so that was not fun.
October 2012-ish.
I can't remember dates.
Not the recent season. Season before.
I've been to the Emirates before. It's a nice ground, to be honest. They built that up right, so they should really be looking at Arsenal. If you want to build a ground that kind of like preserves the neighborhood around it in a bustling area in London, you know, so maybe they should look at the Emirates as a way to build, because they have bridges and cross streets. It's easy to get into, easy to get out to, plenty of space in the corridors. Yeah,
same as Wembley.
I agree with
you. Yeah, you know what? And we talk about the Emirates. That's the same owner. The same owner as the SoFi. So
Wembley in the middle of was that Tottenham?
I think the thing that Old Trafford has is they have space there. There's loads of space there.
That could be. Uh-huh. They could do amazing things with architectural stuff today, and that space they have, they could do something wicked. I mean, they could even break down Trafford into a smaller stadium for something else.
They could build the stadium whilst playing at Old Trafford, right? Because it's
enough space.
They could do something in that back lot where all the ship containers are.
Yeah.
I like what Sean and Mikey was talking about. Something when you build atmospheres, you got to make these tickets so normal heads can go. You want to introduce, you want to bring a younger crowd in there. You want to give deals to schools and stuff like that. And I was hoping that's something they, think about doing. Don't make it so corporate. Don't make it so everybody's got to pay this and that. Just have an area or section where you can have a younger vibe, a younger crowd, and make it easy, maybe more accessible for the common person. That's the only thing I worried about, because you know when we build these gigantic stadiums out here with stores and all that, ticket prices go up.
Mm-hmm. Let me speak to that, because you're talking about the roots of football, right? Where people would just queue up, right? If you're under 15, 17, you just queue up day of. Pay $2. So if they are going to build a 100,000 seater, you're going to make room. You've got to be able to make room for, youth prices to be affordable for working class people. And even if you're not making a load of money, get young working class adults in there. You know, that's who, I know a few of the people from, the red, TRA out there, and it's all kids about 25 to 30, and that's who's bringing a lot of the atmosphere. So, like you said, Casey, you can't price people out. Like, there was a move to price working class people out of football, and you'd really hate to see that just progress further.
The problem,
Super League,
the problem that the Man United, well, clubs are going to do is United 75,000 sells out instantly. I think 100,000 is not going to sell out just as quick. That's the problem. They know that they can get that money, even if it's $60, $70 a pop.
Yeah, but once go ahead, Mikey.
Games coming to the U.S., man. Whether you like it or not, it's not imminent.
It's not.
It's gonna happen. We're seeing all this great money on these overseas tours, and it's just more and more and more money. As the United States gets way more interested in football, it went from the eighth most popular sport to like the fourth or fifth now.
Yeah, that
is in a 10-year span.
And what's scary is that I've seen some. My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off. My bad, Mikey. You still going?
No, go ahead.
It's crazy because I've seen some of these YouTubers post the videos about that, about how Premier League football is trying to in some way imitate the NFL. Right? NFL is already going to Europe, going to Mexico. So they're seeing the trend, the NFL, right? They're a cash cow, right? They're seeing how they're still making so much money, and they're not as global as the Premier League. So the Premier League is trying to imitate some of that. And, we're seeing it with these preseason games. And like Mikey's saying, it might not be too far away where you're going to SoFi, KC, and you're going to go see United
East Rutherford, New Jersey.
I'm not saying tomorrow. I'm not saying in 5 years.
I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It could be later on. It's gonna they're going to slowly put it onto us, and we're going to have to respond. And this is what happens every time, especially in protests. What you do is you put an idea on somebody, and then you see how the outrage is, and you ride it out.
You know,
and then you, over time, you just do it. And either they deal with it or they don't deal. And there's going to be plenty of Americans who don't have the damn history and don't have anything going really and just want to see United versus whatever. And they've never been to Old Trafford. And it'll happen, and then it'll happen more than once. I don't see it happening tomorrow, but I feel like that thing's going to happen. I feel like Super League's going to happen eventually.
They'll get told, yeah, you're going to do it, and then someone's going to sue the Premier League. I said this last night.
But the Premier League is so in love with money right now. I don't see how they can resist it.
The Premier League is, but like I said to Mikey last night, you're looking at only the top 6-7 teams that are going to be doing this. Because if you bring Wolves versus Luton over to America, you think they're going to sell that stadium out?
No.
Not a chance. Not a chance.
No, it's going to be, like you guys said, it's going to be Chelsea and United. It's going to be...
Yeah. Chelsea, it's going to be Liverpool. The big team.
Only big clubs. I don't know what.
I mean, you're seeing more like football. Was it football owners go in and invest their own Premier League teams? Like, you got the dude, the owner for the Jaguars over there owning Fulham.
JJ Watt.
Yeah,
he's in
exactly.
There.
Everybody out there, a lot of American money is in the Premier League. A lot of American ownership is in the Premier League. So you know the Cronky's going to want to see it out here, and that's the reality of it all. But the thing is, what I'm concerned about, one game, I wanted to turn it to 4-3. Because what's going to happen is people are going to get irate when their team comes and lose over here and drops the position because they lost over here, and they're going to blame it on travel and all them type things, and players are going to be like, you know, took me time to adjust to the time zone. Because you know how it will get.
Yeah. So in 6 years' time, when Man United are playing, say, a European game in Russia on a Wednesday night.
That's crazy.
And you're telling them that they gotta go to America to play a game on a Saturday or a Sunday.
It can't be with two games in 1 week.
It's not gonna happen. I don't think this is gonna happen.
They cannot schedule it when there's another game that week. It's gotta be we just play it on Rostock Saturday and come back the next Sunday.
So what you see happening more likely, a Super League or a Premier League playing in the
US? Premier League's already the Super League.
Super League already happened. It's called Champions League.
Yep.
They just changed the format to make it a Super League.
It's just some La Liga teams holding on to that Super League thing because they broke. Barca's so broke. Real Madrid don't care. They're like, we'll take more cheese. If you can give us more cheese.
Juventus was with it too. Juventus was like, broke.
You're right about that, though. They also
don't have money.
Yeah, they just adapted the Premier League. They just changed the format. Premier League.
Jeff said United is turning into a Dutch national team.
Oh, we're turning like the Wolves of Portugal,
Dutch,
right?
Dutch Uruguay. We signed
someone today that wasn't Dutch.
Yeah, the dude from Arsenal.
Yeah, he's not Dutch. He can play for England.
No, he's not. I heard he's wicked. I've never peeped him yet. They said that Arsenal fans was telling me at the match it wasn't going to happen.
Blake says college football is different down here in the South. Amen, brother. They don't know nothing about it.
SEC.
Yeah, they don't know nothing about it.
Y'all better hang on to that college football because we win everything else out here in the West. So I don't know what the hell you thought about.
I mean,
we win everything else. Everything
like
else.
SEC,
I mean, that's all they really got, right? Because LA, SoCal, you've seen these players. They're loving this SoCal lifestyle. At least what I've been hearing, Jaden Sancho is in love with the SoCal lifestyle. Jaden Sancho, he's in love.
Yeah, let him play for the Galaxy.
I think he probably would for the right price.
I think he... Yeah. Nah, we should have killed that like that. That's wild.
They still won't win anything.
Who?
The Galaxy. Oh, man.
So you get rid of LeBron, you ain't winning an NBA championship.
Oh, my God, LeBron.
See, I don't even go that far, you see?
That's wild.
LeBron.
That's cool. Choke LeBron.
So what about Ugarte? What about Ugarte?
What is going on with that? I've heard that the brass is also trying to say if they can't buy him, they'll just like loan him out this year.
It's gonna be a loan to buy,
right? That's what I was hearing yesterday.
Do you think it'll be more money because it's a loan to buy? The contract's gonna be bigger because they wanna want more at the back end. Pause. Do you think it's gonna be if the loan to buy Bandito is gonna be? They're gonna ask for more money towards the end of the contract instead of what's they want now? 60 for Ugarte?
Some shit.
64 euros, yeah, around that. Oh no,
we won't
euros.
Go too much higher. 60 is enough. I like him, but it sounds like everybody's saying
I think it's to,
go ahead, Mandino.
I think it's to get around amortization. So instead of, you know, breaking this up over 3 years, you get the loan and then you get the buy fee and then you can break that up. So I think it's like the same money. So the one of the issues with the mandatory buy is what if he comes and it's like Amrabat and he doesn't have a great year. Now you've got to you're obligated to buy this guy.
Buyer's remorse.
I mean, it's the risk. It's the risk when you're in a financial
situation.
It's
a risk if you just buy his contract outright too, right? Yeah. But then you can at least say like, well, it's his first year. You know, he's getting used to the league and all of that. So, yeah, it's money moves. And before you wouldn't trust United to do good money moves, but I think we've got a little better feeling about it.
Yeah, I think we're better scouting too now, right?
Yeah, we are.
I feel like these guys are going after their needs, and they've done a little bit of research. I feel like Omar and Ashworth and all these guys before they knew before we knew for sure a long time ago, and then also they were doing this homework before they came on board. Like, I'm sure Ashworth was in the cup, like, yo, I like this guy's game. I like this guy. He can fit this. This is what we need. Ten Hag could coach this way. I'm sure that's happening way more when we had the bankers in charge. When it was just, oh, big name Pogba, get him in for 100,000. Big name Di Maria, get him in for this much. Like, just going after big names and not putting him in pieces and buying pieces that we need. So, because we were crying for CDM for years, and they finally get us Casemiro, and it didn't really work out as much as we wanted to. So, definitely risk all the time. Definitely risk all the time, but sometimes that's what you got to do.
Yeah,
and it seems like we're more willing to walk away, like than before. We'll just throw more money at it and just bring him in.
Yeah,
we've got plan A, B, and C, and we're willing to walk away. And
I'm kind of curious about the end of August to see.
Right, the same thing with right back. We didn't just say, "Oh, we need this particular player," and that's it. We've got options.
Yeah, I'm curious to see at the end of August to see if we have changed or not, or whether we do go back and throw the money and at the end of this. Into the transfer window. Because if we haven't got things in place that we need by then, do we revert back to the way we were and just throw money at things?
No, not this group. Not this group. I don't think they have that in them. I don't think they have that in them. They're definitely more invested in energy and in their resources and backgrounds. And I think a lot of them know these players from situations or probably try to recruit them somewhere else. So basically, my point is I definitely trust this group so far.
Strategic moves.
Yes.
They all about strategic
moves. So by August, start of the kickoff season, do we still see Casemiro in the squad?
Yes.
Casemiro, autonomy.
Yes, Casemiro's here to stay.
If they're not sold by then they're staying.
Actually, I think Matomani goes.
Wan-Bissaka too at the start of the season?
I thought he's part of the West Ham squad.
He's leaving.
I mean, it's still not finalized yet.
He's just waiting for the wages to go a little bit closer to what he's making now. And he's dipping. But according to some sources, that's the deal that's going to happen. Then we're going to get the young fella.
We were supposed to see it already, right? The dude from Bayern.
Yeah, but you know, everybody, as long as this tour is going on, business is not going to really get dealt, you know, because all the brass is running around.
What's up with
De Ligt? Well, yeah, the brass is running around in a different time zone.
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
What's up with De Ligt?
He's waiting like a gal. Mm. Excuse me, but he's got to chill.
He's got to chill until Lindelof goes.
Lindelof.
Yeah, I'm hearing that it's already wrapped for De Ligt. They're just waiting for a sale. Same with Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, Wan-Bissaka, everything's wrapped up, right? They're just waiting to. Yeah.
It's
going to
be a domino effect.
For Wan-Bissaka to go so that way they can get the next. So that's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
But who knows?
It's a domino effect. Hey, once we start moving,
Casey,
guys.
Have you noticed that the opinion on Wan-Bissaka kind of like splits the fan base?
Yeah.
About him leaving or him staying.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I feel that it is, but I'm a person who likes Wan-Bissaka, and I've accepted that he's not the style of player we need, our brass want, or our playing style. Yes, he's an excellent defender, and I love him for that. And I back him. I want to keep him because I think he will lock a man down, on one side of the field and do his thing. but he's not the style. We want a more attacking base right back, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So I know people are like, are we taking a risk? Yeah, yeah. And I was screaming that, but he's not the style we want. And that's all
I think
is.
I think we're taking a risk selling him first and not getting Delitin, especially with Yoro's injury.
Right now, it's a risk because Yoro's injury.
Yeah, we don't necessarily need to get rid of him to get a new right back right now. Even though it would be, I think it's a slight upgrade, but I think Delitin's more of a need right now than
a
right back.
Facts. That's very fact. That injury changed that.
How long has he been here, Wan-Bissaka?
4 years,
five four or five years, right?
Four or five.
We've seen what we've needed to see. It's not. I don't know why it's split. A lot of it is player FC, right? Just like how Martial was. You know, a lot of it is like they really don't care about the club in the long term, right? So, like, yeah, you like Wan-Bissaka because he has bone crunching tackles in 1v1 and he'll do a job. But then when he lets three penalties go in a row, then what? Then what? Then what is Dodie saying then? It's like the guy served a job. He can play, but we need somebody that's going to be more all around than he is. That's it.
That's all it is.
And I think financial wise, you don't want him to go on a free next year.
No.
If you can get a net sum zero and bring in another player that more fits your style, then I think that you have to do it.
100%. 100%. I mean, and we could get some decent change for him. I was seeing now 10 million is disrespectful. That's what a lot of the Italian clubs were offering. They were saying 10 million. Now that's just disrespectful. But like 20, 22, 25 million?
I'm hearing
for this guy at 25, 26 years old.
I think he needs between 15 and 20 million.
Yeah, I'll take 20 million for him.
20 easy. Would be nice.
Yeah, yep. Easy. We get back almost half of what we spent. And he did some good service for us. God bless him.
And
I don't think he's a scrub, but God bless him.
That's the whole problem with our back line right now. Three of them are out of contract next summer. You know, you got Maguire, Lindelof, and Wan-Bissaka are all out of contract next summer.
I don't think Lindelof leaves.
You don't think he's leaving?
I don't think he leaves.
Well, is it a problem in the wages? They're not going to get the same wages?
Guys like their wages, their weekly wages, and it's more or less there's offers for them, and their wages are going to decrease, but man's living good over here, Manny. They're like, whoa. You mean I got to lose 50?
Yep.
And that's all it is.
It's just because they feel like they can play themselves back into the team, right? They still – and sometimes they're foolishly right, like Harry Maguire, right? Like Harry Maguire almost played himself back into a starting position if we were blind and we didn't know. But like – yeah, they still have hope. They still want to make it at Man United, I'd like to believe. So, like, it's I don't know.
The background stuff, they've got to have balls and say, look, thank you for your service. Time for you to go.
Yeah.
Unless United backroom staff start saying telling these players, like, hey, you either leave or you're not going to play. They're not going to leave.
Yeah, but then at some point, look, they got to know that we're getting younger. They're getting a younger center back. That's going to play their position. They know that they're already on their way out. Wrong side of 30 now.
Last question. Let me ask you this. In Aaron Wan-Bissaka's case, do you think he believes Diego Dulot is going to be healthy every week?
He was the most consistent player last year. He played more games. I rate Dulot better than Wan-Bissaka.
I didn't say that.
I don't
said health.
Yeah, I mean, health-wise, wasn't he injured too, Wan-Bissaka? I was just seeing that he was...
Yeah, he was injured. Yeah,
he didn't play as many games. The dude that they're trying to get from Bayern played almost just as much games as Wan-Bissaka. Oh, they both have the same...
his injury record.
But offensively, he's better than Wan-Bissaka. That's and defensively, he's slight... I mean, at least the stats show that Wan-Bissaka was slightly better. We know Wan-Bissaka's a baller when it comes to one-on-one defending, right? But football's more than just that. Especially with the way that Eric Ten Hag,
100%.
Well, we're coming to the end. These gentlemen are going to be having their things going to South Carolina. There's going to be videos. There's going to be a lot of meet and greets.
Meet?
They're going to have a show. What did I say?
Meet and greets.
Yeah, have fun, guys.
That's the thing.
I'm curious to see how it is in the South, since the South is so lit.
Yeah, the South is going to be lit this weekend. Let's see if the players fall in love with the South.
Because the fact that I checked the weather today and it's going to be lightning on Saturday. So.
Oh, wow. So set it off. Somehow. Everybody go underground.
Nice.
No, it's be fun. Call the game I'm interested hell. To see how it is. Yeah. Man, you guys have fun. Are you guys going to go to the trainings and all that too?
There is no open training.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that yesterday. You just said
but
that.
Hopefully, my application gets approved.
Wow. So nice.
Me and Big Mikey can.
Yeah, the media.
We'll be on the lookout
great.
For that. Hopefully, we get updates, man.
Hey, Blake says, Casey, come down for a UGA game.
I'm going to be on enemy ground.
He ain't ready for that SEC life, man.
Yeah, I'll come down.
To the UCLA.
Go Gators.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man.
This has been another one of those Casual Red shows. I want to thank Bandito, Cheese, Germ in the studio, Sean, Hater Mike.
I might not be on next week, boys.
Traveling. Check out United Fan Zone. It's a great show. It's a great show.
Up the Reds.
Up the fucking Reds. Loved it. LA was good. Like, good me seeing all the Reds. Damn, shout out to San Diego. OC Reds. Santa Barbara. Blood Club.
Nice. Santa Barbara.
I don't want to say no names, but I had a good time. Marcus, I'm sorry I bumped into you. Everybody, this is Those Casual Reds Show. We're out. I'm in the whip. One.
In the whip.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas. Only on LA Talk Radio.